Good morning. You have to excuse my cough. Our scripture reading today comes from Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 17. If then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. Verse 8, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, and circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy, beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. Amen. I'm going to touch upon a few things this morning. One of them is the idea of idolatry. When I was in seminary, we had like one of my last classes. You know, 4 years I was at Fuller. One of the last classes, you know, after I had already taken my hermeneutics, you know, exegetical classes, and after I had taken, you know, basically Bible preaching in seminary, there was still like a half a course, like a two-unit course, where they just wanted you to practice public speech. It didn't really matter. It didn't really have to be biblical or whatnot. They just wanted you an extra, you know, 2 hours a week or whatnot to practice. And during this course, you know, a lot of people taught about a lot of different things. But I particularly remember one student, and he was teaching, and he hit on the topic of pornography. And it was quite refreshing in the sense that he was really honest. He was just kind of sharing a personal struggle that he was going through. And he had mentioned this one time where he had gone to the video store, you know, Blockbuster or Hollywood Videos or whatnot, and, you know, a God-fearing, God-loving, faithful man of God, you know, serving in the church, you know, loves his family. But like any man, naturally, you know, there are certain triggers sexually that you know, get you charged up or whatnot. And so he was passing through the adult section of the video displays, and he basically started getting so tempted. And he's sharing this with the class, and he's basically saying, you know, I was warring in my insides, you know, like praying to God, you know. And he was very honest, like, God, I really want to watch this. You know, he's just straightforward with God, and I know it's not good, but God, you know, can I watch this? You know, can I just watch a little bit of this, you know, pornographic video or whatnot, and then I'll, you know, I'll just repent or something. And so he was struggling back and forth and struggling with his flesh and his mind, his thoughts, praying spiritually. And finally he gave in and he picked up the video case, right? And he turned the back because he wanted to know the content, made sure it had a good plot. And he looked at it, and the first words that came out of this X-rated video on the back display was, "Worship your desires." And he was just flipped. And he saw that and worship your desires. And he put it back. And immediately, you know, it's not like he was thinking straight in the first place, but the fact that, man, I don't want to worship my desires. I don't want to worship my flesh. I don't want to worship sex. You know, I want to worship God. And the idea of idolatry, you know, in verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. And in other letters that Paul writes, he specifically talks about sexual immorality. Now, here's the thing on sexual immorality, and I'll get to the idolatry part in a second. What we have to realize is that sexuality is a natural part of our, you know, being. God created it. In fact, I love it best how Mike Erie at Newport, Rock Harbor. He's a teaching pastor there. He had a whole series on sex and sexuality and marriage. And throughout the whole series, every Sunday, he had this giant box, like the size of a person, the size of a whole drum set, decorated and with ribbons and sprinkled, and just this immense gift. And so that the whole time he's teaching, the audience can see that sex is actually a gift, right? A precious gift from God. But within that gift, there are certain parameters. And so what the devil does, right, which is his role, he distorts everything that is good, everything that is pure, everything that is light. The enemy distorts and turns around and turns it into evil. There are certain parameters. And I thought this was probably one of the best illustrations given on sexuality and marriage and sex before marriage. And essentially, within its parameters, it's a gift of God to us in marriage. And you know, even in my youth, right, I would always, you know, in my lack of knowledge, always complain, well, what's so wrong about sex? You know, how can something that, you know, is so good be so bad? You know, like chocolate. How come it's so good but it's so bad for you? And so I struggle with these thoughts. And essentially, he gave this illustration. Sex is so powerful. It's such a gift from God that it's like a power socket. Right, and if you guys remember Back to the Future, right? You know, when he needed a power source, and Michael J. Fox says to the doctor, you know, 1.8 gigawatts. You know, it's the source or power of that of a lightning bolt, and outside of its parameters, outside of what God meant it to be, if you access or harness that power, it's destructive. It'll literally destroy you. Right, it'll destroy your heart, your mind, your relationships, literally coming together and being torn apart, right? Being unified and then torn apart, being unified. And so it's so powerful that only within the parameters of marriage and within the confines of what God had called it to be, it becomes a beautiful, spiritual, emotional experience, a gift from God in which we, through that, actually procreate, right? And two become one. And so essentially, Mike Erie's illustration was, you know, you wouldn't just stick your finger or plug yourself into a power source that is so powerful that it would literally wipe you out. But within the parameters of marriage, it's a source of a strength, of beauty, of blessing. And so, you know, really the church here is struggling with a lot of things dealing with the flesh. And let me make this distinction. Paul is addressing a people who really, you know, defiles the things of the flesh so much that it becomes reactionary. And what I mean by that is they hate the symptoms, they hate the things they do in the flesh, and so they beat themselves up, and out of a reaction of this hate, out of a reaction of this failure, they then make rules or regulations that would keep them in order. That's very different from voluntary dying to yourself. Do you see how that works? One is, oh, I can't control this in my life. I can't control this lust or this desire or these fleshly things, and I keep falling and I keep stumbling. Therefore, reactionary, I'm going to beat myself up. I'm going to confine myself. I'm going to, you know, prison myself or put myself behind bars. It's not that that's necessarily bad, but there's a difference and a distinction between I voluntarily die to myself. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, For I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ, he lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. A voluntary dying to yourself, where you basically say, God, I empty myself up. Lord, come fill yourself. Come fill myself. Come fill me with your Spirit. And Michael Pierce kind of touched upon this briefly, but he was saying how there's a difference between having a difficulty with a certain sin. And he gave the example of pornography and then saying, okay, well, I'm going to cut out internet, I'm going to cut out magazines, I'm going to cut out any source of that temptation. And a difference between a change in your heart where when you actually see it, it has no effect on you. That's transformation. That's you see something that the devil would usually, you know, inflame and use as a passion against you, but instead God has changed your heart from the inside, not from the outside, and therefore you see that and you can actually pray for them. You can actually look at something that caused you temptation in the past and actually pray a blessing or prayer over them for freedom. And that's amazing. That's transformation. That's only something that God can do. Essentially, at the heart of what lies behind immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, all these things is idolatry. Well, what are we worshiping? Man, we're worshiping ourselves. We're worshiping, as my friend quoted in his little talk, we're worshiping our desires. And really, you know, if you get to the bottom of it, at some point in our walk, whether during the week or during the month or during the day, we displace God's, Christ's centrality or Christ's authority or priority in our life with our own. And at that point, our own desires begin to take toll and begin to lead us into things that we know we shouldn't. So that's just something to consider. In starting off in the first couple of verses, he points out, you know, to set your mind on things above. And I really like this thought in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, the idea in this day and culture is that, you know, as much as you conform, there's still a part of you that needs to be unique. You have whole movements of people and trends and whatnot that want to go against mainstream. You know, don't speak against who I am. This is who I am. I have a liberty to express myself and whatnot. And then if you look at this, it's like, well, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about a sort of a cloned Christianity where everyone has to conform, everyone has to look the same way? And you can look at that and you can kind of be like, well, that's not me. That's not who I want to be. But if you really get down to the bottom of it, right? I mean, people who are seeking out and expressing themselves, you know, it's a gift definitely from God to be able to express yourself artistically. But also, it's part of it, I would have to say, it's in being fallen, in being lost, and not actually knowing who you are, therefore exploring and finding and saying, well, this is who I am, and these are the things that define me. But essentially, right, when our life, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, meaning we die and he is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. The true self, the true you, the person that so many people in this world are struggling to find and manifesting and expressing themselves in so many different ways, the true person of who you are actually is revealed when you die and Christ is risen. And what do I mean by that? We are the children of God, period. We are created by God, period, for his purpose, for his sake. In the Garden of Eden, as God intended, perfect relationship, perfect sonship, perfect relation with the Father, this is who we are. We communicate with the Father. We're his children. We have his covering. We have all that he is. We share in his glory. He gives us all provision. This is our identity. And when we recognize this and when we die to ourselves, our true identity comes out. We begin to live as sons and daughters of God. And so all to say, you know, as we seek after God and as we literally die to ourselves, we become more alive in that which God intended us to be. Let me close with I'm not going to be able to get to everything, but in verses 10 and 11, 12, 13 going on, you can highlight it. But it talks about, you know, again, Paul tells us to die to yourself. And, oh, sorry, here's the key In verse 5, you know, when you're warring against the flesh, when you're warring against things that tempt you or things that are causing you to struggle, whether it's the nightlife or relationships or lust or money or whatnot, and Paul gives a very good advice here in the beginning of verse 5, consider the members of your earthly body as dead, right? And that kind of just recaps what I had just been saying. And he goes on in verse 6 and it says, for it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come, right? Never forget that you have a loving, merciful, patient, forgiving, as far as the east is from the west, you know, merciful God that will forgive you every sin. But don't ever forget that there are, in fact, consequences for your sins. Right? Don't ever forget. A simple illustration of this is my GIC class. You know, as much as I love every member in my GIC course, and as much as I desire them to grow and I pray for them, we have certain parameters. And if you don't comply with these requirements, then you can't complete the course. You have to take it again. You'll fail, no matter how much I love you. No matter how much I care for them or whatnot. And so, if you miss 3 classes, you're out. You know, there's consequences. My son Micah, no matter how much I love him, do I like to see him cry? Do I like to see him unhappy or upset or angry? Of course not. But I will discipline him. Not because it's the right thing to do, you know, per se. It's because I have a greater vision propelled forward of the man that I see him to be in Christ. And therefore, there are certain restrictions that I know he can't walk into, that certain disciplines or behaviors that need to be addressed now, you know, in spite of the difficulty, and you know, he may be angry at me or whatnot. And so all to say, there are consequences to our actions in spite of how much God loves us, or you could say that the other way as well. And Paul says to continue to put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And we'll stop there this morning. I'll try to finish up this next week. But let's bow our heads. And this morning, just want us to focus and meditate. You know, have there been areas in our lives or things that maybe we've given ourselves over to that maybe we considered, well, I just don't have the strength for this. I've tried so many ways and packages and strategies and whatnot. And maybe it's just my thorn in my flesh. Maybe it's just something I have to deal with and just rely on God's grace and provision. And yes, that part is true. But could it be that in our hearts that maybe we've been approaching it the wrong way? You know, and I just invite you today just to, you know, and I understand, you know, sometimes it might be painful to go back to it. It just, you know, a Christian life riddled with guilt can be so depressing. And I understand that. I really understand that because I've been there. And so fully dependent and reliant upon God's grace, a gift to us. At the same time, you know, could it be that if we revisit that maybe we've been acting in trying to overcome these things, perhaps maybe we've been acting in our flesh, in the sense that we've been reacting and creating man-made parameters or protections or strategies. That in fact, you know, if we ask God for a heart transplant in this particular issue or struggle, that in fact, that if we ask God to give us His heart and His eyes, when our eyes wander, or when our thoughts wander. So I just invite you, if there's anything, that maybe you've put in priority above your devotion and allegiance to God, then I invite you to just take a moment and just do a soul check, an inventory check. And I'll just let God speak to you. And in a little bit, Pastor Nate will lead us in a song. So just spend some time in meditation. For our first prayer point, let's just pray for the purity of the church. Let's pray for ourselves individually as we wait faithfully, first to God, and then second to our spouses to be. That we wouldn't be people who would try to get the most out of our indulgences, you know, until a certain time, and then we'll get right with God. But that, one, we would love God with all our heart, mind, and soul first. And then secondly, we would get in order our flesh, our weaknesses. And not wait, you know, for after we get married and then I'll deal with them because I'll be so much more stronger and so much more focused. But your bride, your husband deserves, or your wife deserves so much more now in faith. That we would get in order the things in our life that have yet to be in order now in faith. Because on that wedding day, we want to present something so perfect, so beautiful, to the best of our ability and even beyond in the Spirit. That we would have something precious to offer our bride. And it's the same heart and the same attitude that we have as we wait for Christ. Yeah, we could live it up and get by, you know, by the thin of our teeth or whatnot, but, you know, get in through the coattails of another into heaven. Yeah, Christ has won it all and we're free and we're forgiven. But man, he's coming back for his bride and he's coming back for his church. And don't we want to offer to our groom, the head of the church, the best that we have to offer and not leftovers? And so with this heart in mind, let's pray for our church. Let's pray for ourselves, pray for our community, pray for the universal church, that we would be a worthy bride, that we would be a purified bride. God, just hearts that desire to seek and love and present a beautiful gift to him on that day. So let's pray for the purity of the church, purity of individuals, our church members, those who are struggling in the flesh, particularly in the areas of sexuality or sexual immorality. And just pray covering and blessing, an awakening, a renewal of our hearts, a putting on of Christ, and a dying to ourselves. Let's pray this over our church. Let's pray for our church events over this weekend. Tonight, the McCain House Church, Jimmy and Boyang are meeting tonight, so let's pray blessing over them. Tonight is my GIC class, 9-week course. It's the final class, examination with memory verses. Just pray that it would be a blessed meeting and that the people that, complete the course and move on would move on to even greater things. That God would just impart to them even greater things and that they would come into even a deeper relationship with Him. Let's pray for our IP ministry on Saturdays. Let's pray for our youth group that meets on Saturday. Pray for our Sunday service. Sophia Chung will be leading and giving the word for that day. So just cover her and bless her as she prepares. No fear from the enemy, right? All those lies. Let's just pray complete confidence in Christ that God will speak through her. Just pray over our Sunday school ministries, our Sunday school teachers, Cascade, deliverance and inner healing ministries that we have on Monday. Let's pray for Pastor Sam and a handful of people who've gone to the Sydney Outreach Conference. Just pray covering over Pastor Sam for his word, his messages, just spiritual protection. Pray for Jean-Marc, Tom, and Sujin, and a handful of others that have gone to really minister to the people there and to get some rest as well. So just pray blessing over them. Let's just cover them in our prayers. Lastly, let's pray for our building fund. Let's just continue to pray and cover the steering committee. Let's continue to pray for Janice Lee, the pastoral staff, the board of directors, and just, you know, all the leadership that's involved, and the church as well, every individual person that contributes to their thoughts, funding, and prayers. So let's just pray. You know, God is going to provide this. He's gonna bless not this church. He's going to bless this city. And this is an avenue by which He's going to do it. And it's going to take a great measure of faith on everyone's part. So let's just pray in faith as if we have it, as if we've already received it. Let's give thanks, and then let's pray for the process. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, God, for this new day. God, thank You so much for revealing light in something that the enemy wants us to think of as darkness. And God, sex is a beautiful gift. God, You created it, and You intended it for two couples that love and are committed for eternity, for this life. So, Father, we just reject any lies of the enemy in this area, and we receive Your truth in it, Father God, that as we desire to be men and women of God, and that we would have the proper mindset, the proper understanding, and with that knowledge, you know, firmly grasped, God, that it will impact and transform the way we see relationships. It'll impact and transform the way we see our future bride or groom. God, just fill us with Your light. And as we die to ourselves, Christ, this morning, we put on our new self, which is You. Lord Jesus, come live in us. And God, I know we're going to be just precious children, firm in our identity. God, that literally the billboards and ads and magazines and all these flaming arrows that constantly, you know, being thrown at us from every angle, from our backs, from our ears, it just, God, it's just going to literally bounce off of us, God, a field, a force around us, God, in Your spirit, as we walk in the light, as You are in the light. God, we bless Your name. We love You, Jesus. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.